Hello and welcome. You're watching Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mir. And with us is Alessia Rastani from thinktrading.com.
Actually, leading trader.
Oh, okay.
It's okay, don't worry about it.
So let's start with the Fed rate hike, as you're from that side of the water. What do you make of it?
Well, I'm hoping that today Zach is finally going to admit his eating crow, because for the last few months, Zach, you've been in denial about the rate hike. And I've been saying this to you for the last few months I've been here. They're going to raise rates in December. And lo and behold, guess what happens? They raised rates yesterday. So how do you feel? Hopefully transitioning from denial into anger and then into
despair, I think.
Despair.
Well, no, I'm very happy that the American economy is strong enough to take a 0.25% rate hike.
Right.
I was reminded, I was listening to Radio 4, which is obviously the font of all the Today programs, the font of all wisdom, and they reminded us that the Japanese in 2000 and 2007 or 8, they tried to raise rates and get out of their cycle, you know, their circle of doom, which they currently are in. And after, you know, like a few months, they had to lower interest rates again. So if they actually, I mean, this is nothing at the moment, if they actually have to raise rates to a meaningful level, I don't think the economy will be able to take it. So I think it may be a false dawn for interest rates.
Yeah. So interesting thing, as we saw, Jenny, yesterday, you probably noticed that, gold dropped. We'll have a take a look at it in a few moments, I presume, about gold and see what the dumb money is still thinking. I presume they're still
don't
bullish.
Say dumb, say intellectually challenged.
Well, I prefer your wording, the retail trader mob.
Okay.
Let's go along with that. So let's see if that's dropped down. But it's interesting. So gold dropped down as we expected. Dollar rallied. Again, this is something I've been calling the Trump, well, everybody's been calling it the Trump trade. The U.S. dollar rallied, as we expected, to raise rates. But also, we expected the dollar to go up anyway because a Trump presidency, Trump has been very critical of the Fed, saying why have they not been raising rates all this time. So the market has been preparing themselves for once Trump comes into power, which is about to anyway, so that he eventually is going to raise rates. And I think we're going to see more hawkish policies towards increasing rates by next year. The euro dropped, of course. So we've been short on the euro. We're going to take a look at that as well. What else happened? So what we saw, what have you not mentioned?
The indices?
Oh, indices, yeah. So we'll take a look at the S&P and the stock markets. In fact, I have an interesting setup I want to show everybody here on Tip TV about the S&P. But it'll be interesting to see because, and of course, we're in December. December, one of the strongest months on record seasonally. So we're coming close to what's called the Santa Rally, the Santa Claus Rally. I think we're only like 5 days away from what could be a very strong Santa Rally, and I know Zach's going to say, "Well, this time might be different." So,
well, it could. The only thing I would say, for instance, the Dow. I mean, if you look at the the overbought reading, it's like 87 out of 100.
Exactly.
I don't think I've ever seen that that type of a market that stretched or a major market that stretched. So, there are some question marks.
Absolutely, I agree with you. Yeah.
So let's move on to the first slide. So we have most popular in business and finance. Now we're starting with Yahoo. 1 billion compromised accounts doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. Now it's reporting that in August 2013, 1 billion user accounts were compromised, perhaps the largest ever for an email service provider. That's according to Forbes. So it's not looking good for Marissa Mayer there.
Yeah.
And then the dollar on top on hawkish Fed as bonds, stocks outside Japan fall. The dollar was the chief beneficiary of the Federal Reserve's first and only interest rate hike of 2016, rallying to a 10-month high against the yen after officials signaled a steeper path for borrowing costs, and that's according to Bloomberg. So what do you make of those?
Now, first of all, I'm surprised that anybody still uses Yahoo.
I do.
Oh, I have a Yahoo account as well, but I hate it.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate it because, number one, they're awful at spam filtering. And number two, just the way they deliver their emails and the way that the text appears, especially on my phone, on my smartphone. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but it just, Gmail, actually, I still think Gmail is much more superior to Yahoo. But
yeah.
I love Yahoo. I wrote a weekly column for Yahoo Finance, and I think they're all good people. So thank
all right.
You.
Okay, so
actually,
let's
Yahoo
move on
Finance
from that plug.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Okay, so next slide.
Yeah.
So FOMC eventually inches rates higher. Their rationale included low unemployment and inflation that's moving towards their 2% target. Ms. Yellen called it a vote of confidence in the economy that promptly warned that it was operating under a cloud of uncertainty as they yet see exactly what Mr. Trump's policies are. And Janet Yellen also said she is going to rate hikes 3 times next year. Do you think that's likely?
No. I don't think so. I think that's far too bullish, far too confident. I'm going to actually side with Zach on this one. I think Zach is probably going to say it's very unlikely.
Well, considering she said this year we were going to have four hikes. So.
Yeah. I think, yeah, they're going towards more hawkish policies. And I think Trump coming into power, the way he's been critical, as I've been saying, of the Fed delaying this rate. But again, a lot of uncertainty. We don't, honestly, there's no way we can predict how the market economy is going to be in the next 12 months. So who knows, honestly.
Exactly.
Zach, what do you think?
I think that that was a slight swipe at Donald Trump. I think he's probably he's been more visible on his policies than most presidents have been before they even get their feet under the desk. So that's one thing. And I think also to defend my stance about not, you know, they're not being a rate rise now. I think basically if Trump was, she's doing what she thinks Trump wants her to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Next slide. So we're looking at the euro dollar. Are we heading to a parity in Q1 2017? Thoughts?
Yeah. Well, when we went short, so, you know, we went short with our members on Leading Trader. We went short at 1.08. We can't see it on the chart. So we're now in profit. Actually, last night we were in profit by 300 pips, doing quite well. I think the last time I was here, I actually recommended going short on the euro. I can't remember. I think I agree with you, Jenny. I think we're looking at parity. Once we take out those lows of 2015, we're heading down to parity, which I think is only like, what is that, like not far away. I think we're very close to that level. The question is, how long are we going to stay at that level? That's something to keep an eye on.
Okay, next slide. So sentiment in the market, Zach, I know you want to talk about gold, your favorite subject.
Well, I was looking at the IG platform earlier on. It's like 88% of people are long of gold, which must be quite painful.
Yeah, I bet.
We're in the same situation here with Oanda clients. Mm-hmm. Interesting that, I suppose, you've got euro-dollar there, which is near 60%. The retail money being quite long of euro dollar implies to me that it's actually going down, unfortunately. And the same thing with dollar yen. A few days ago, it fell below the 50% mark there.
Yeah.
And we've seen a 3 yen move to the upside. So
good
contrarian indications here. The other one, which may be worth noting as well, euro sterling, they're going now bullish.
Yes.
And that suggests to me that it's going to tank over the next few weeks.
Okay,
let's move on to the next slide. So the economic calendar, of course, we've talked about the Bank of England's rate decision today, and I think most people seem to think not much is going to happen there. But over to the US, you've got the consumer price index and the initial jobless claims. Do you think that we need anything we need to focus on there?
I agree with you on that one. I don't think they're going to make any major changes from the Bank of England. I don't think we're going to see that. Consumer price index, I really don't know. The major jobs report that I watch out for, that's already passed. That's not something I would be looking for. I think basically most likely what I'd be paying attention to is the behavior of the indices right now, because we're coming to the seasonal period. I think as you're probably in the next few slides. All right, Jenny?
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
So there you go, the daily chart, breach of falling trend for Centrica.
Yeah, I agree with that trade. It's actually a gap higher through the 200-day moving average, and really, while we hold that gap around 220, 221, the objective of 234 looks more than achievable. Also, maybe some hint there that there's something going on as far as maybe M&A speculation, something like that. It's rather strange that a company which is so boring normally is jumping around like that. So hopefully for British Gas, but it's the owner of British Gas, there may be something going on in a positive way.
Next slide. Okay, so we've got the dollar versus Canadian dollar, the loonie. So,
yeah, that's actually one. I sent these slides over last night. This is actually something I literally emailed our subscribers and I said, look, go long on dollar CAD if it breaks 131.50. And of course, obviously, when the Fed Reserve announcement came out, it rallied. You can see a major bounce from that trend line up there. Mm-hmm. So I took this slide after the bounce. All I would say is this might be a trade worth considering for those of our viewers who are trading currencies. Wait for a pullback on dollar CAD. We've hit that major support level, 200 MA. That's one of your favorite levels, Zach.
Yep.
Nice trend line support. I'd wait for a pullback. little bit overbought right now. Wait for 132 to 1317, and then go long with the stop loss below the lows, looking for a move up to 134, 133 half.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. So gold. Oh, yeah.
So this is gold. Take a look. First of all, I want everyone who's watching this, take a look at the left-hand side first. That's the gold insider position, which I've labeled there. Now, insiders have been quietly, secretly buying gold. Obviously, they're going against everybody else, so they're buying as the prices drop. That's the commercial hedgers. However, that does not mean that we should be buying, because commercial hedgers naturally are buying gold as a hedge. So here's the thing. I would wait until that level on the insider position gets up to the 100K position. And just I want to give credit to Jason Geppert of SentimentTrader.com, who actually gives us this information. Zach, I think last time we talked, you mentioned 1080, 1050, 1080 on gold. I think that's looking very likely. We need to break 1117 as the next support. If we close below that, I think 1050, 1080 might be achievable.
I was saying that before more out of mischief than anything.
Oh, really? Okay.
Just to wind people up. But it does look as though that nightmare scenario is going to come to pass. We were just doing a piece with Moose a few minutes ago, and it said that the Chinese authorities are stopping private purchases of gold. Which is draconian, but exactly what you would expect from a third world dictatorship. So they're doing that. So that's a major source of buying for physical buying for gold is out of the picture at the moment. I think in India it's rather difficult to buy gold as well.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is a bit of a squeeze on the death of cash type of scenario.
That's right.
There.
Well, gold essentially is being affected by two things. One is a strength in the U.S. dollar, that dollar rally yesterday, and also the interest rate yields, that the short-term, the 10-year interest rate yields have been increasing. Both of these work against the gold market. So going back to that chart of gold, I'm looking for a move down to 1117. Traders who want to look at trading gold, I'd wait for a bounce, wait for a corrective move back up to maybe 1160, 1180, and then short that rally. But essentially, I'm looking for a lower level still on gold. And I think the next chart I sent out, okay, you love this, Zach, I think. Stock market behavior in December. Guess where we are right now? Seasonally, we are right now. This is a seasonal pattern in December. We're very close to a Santa Claus rally. Now, we don't know 100% we're going to get one this year, but I'm not going to count it out. But right now, we're in a period where we should be very close to a pullback, some kind of weakness in the stock market, and buying that pullback. So if we go to the next chart, we're literally very close to that level. And I want to get your opinions on this, guys. So this is the stock market. This is the S&P 500. You can see that we made a peak up there at 2280 level. We saw the market drop yesterday after the Fed announcement. The stock market had a weakness. I'm looking now at more follow-through to the downside to support on the S&P at 2230. Actually, I think we'll go down lower. I think we'll go to 2220 to 2210. And I'd be a buyer at that level, because if the seasonal pattern repeats, if the Santa Claus rally, which we see at this time of year, repeats, then you'd have to be expecting that pullback is not going to last very long, that weakness won't last too long. So I'd be a buyer.
But don't you think just the market's going to go straight up? We've had the Fed yesterday, three rate hikes. You know, it was more than two that they were expecting, but who cares?
Yeah.
Trump's coming in, it's, you know, gung-ho, party time, end of the year. But what's there to wait for?
When you say straight up, you mean that you won't...
It's just like goes, you know, we had a slight dip intraday yesterday, but then that's it.
I just think there's going to be a lot... I think there's going to be a profit-taking move. I think we're going to see a corrective profit... Again, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to last too long. But, you know, this is the thing. I think the sentiment's become so bullish on the stock market now. I think we're going to see some profit-taking taking place. And, again, I'm only expecting a pullback on that wave five, coming down to support at 2230, 2210. And again, I don't think... I agree with you, Zach. I don't think it's going to last too long, and that's why those arrows have drawn here. So there's two paths. One is a red arrow showing a very short-term pullback, and then off we go up to 2,300, as you can see those arrows. Or it could be a more deeper pullback, down to support 2,210. I'm going to buy that level. Stop loss goes beneath 2,180. I would suggest use a wider stop loss. For those of you watching, maybe use a wider stop loss, purely because we don't know how much deep that pullback could be. Maybe put it below 2170. But looking for higher levels, 2300 is my target by the end of the year, essentially.
Okay, let's move on to the last slide. There's not time left. Now, I want to start with Boohoo.com because they've done really well, a Manchester company there that started in 2006, and they've just acquired a major stake in Pretty Little Thing, which will be a huge boost for them.
I chose that in honor of you.
Oh.
And then there's Sky after that, because I know nothing about it apart from, you know, it's got a silly name and everything. I didn't even know they were from Manchester. I'm amazed they've been successful, even though they are from Manchester, actually, I have to say.
Well, you were controversial today, but anyway, moving on to Sky.
The Northern Powerhouse, I suppose. But Sky, it was one of my stocks for next year, which was rather handy, as it 3 hours later, after 3 hours after writing about it, there was a bid from 21st Century Fox, so I got lucky with that. Interesting there, though, that Macquarie are going for outperform still, and they're going for a £1,400 target, which is £3 or more above the current share price, so that is interesting there. William Hill is another company which I think could be an M&A target. The betting group, I think there's still room for plenty of consolidation there. So Liberum's £3.23 target is something I would be in accordance with. I think the share's around 2.80, 2.90 at the moment.
Super. Zach Alessio, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next, the investor trader shares of the day.